Welcome to the Beamsville Church of Christ online ministry. This week's message is titled, The Resurrection. Thank you to Amy, Earl, Ed, Barb, and Dawn for being part of the video. The scripture reading is Revelation 1:1-8.
Good morning, everybody. I would like to welcome you here, invite you to come in and have a seat if you're out in the lobby or making your way in. Welcome to our people who are online today and to those who are visiting, friends and family. We're glad that you are here. Many of ours are probably visiting friends and family and away. So it's always a little bit of a shuffle on a long weekend, and it's good to see new faces and who is here to worship with us today. We have a few celebrations this week. We have two Helens and a Dawn having birthdays. So happy birthday to both Helens and to Dawn this week. We have no new prayer requests this week, so that's a great week. So maybe we need a prayer of thanksgiving for no new prayer requests. Let's pray together. Dear God, we come before you and we thank you for this beautiful morning. We thank you for Easter that we are celebrating today and that the grave is empty. God, we thank you that you still continue to raise the dead and that when dead men hear your voice, they rise. God, we ask that you move in this place, that you move in our worship, that you raise the dead in this room. Amen.
Romans chapter 6 begins with an interesting premise, and that is there's a discussion or an argument, a defense, I guess, of what is Christ's death, burial, and resurrection all about. And, you know, the premise is that it is grace by which you have been saved, not works, as we learn in other passages. There's nothing we can do to earn salvation. It is a gift. And so Paul in his writing says, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? So the question is, okay, if God is giving us this grace, if our salvation is a gift, well, we can do whatever we want, because he'll just keep forgiving us. See, that cheapens God's grace. That cheapens salvation. Because we have that attitude, then, you know what? We're almost making a mockery of the gift of salvation and what happened on the cross. So he says, verse 2, by no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. So there's a couple of things going on. The death, burial, resurrection, we're celebrating. Today, Resurrection Sunday. The fact is that we, when we're baptized, we are identifying with his death and his burial in the water, and we rise to a new life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. So Christ took our sins into himself. He bore our sins on Calvary. He died, he was buried, and on the third day he rose from the dead. Well, when we identify with Christ's death and burial in baptism, we rise to live, as he says here, a new life. So As we meet this morning around the table, maybe we identify in two parallel planes, a micro level, whereby we can identify that Christ died, took our sins, and gives us new life. And that means new life right here on this earth. It means that we can live triumphant. We can live with hope. We can live knowing that he paid the price for us. So on a micro level, we can live a life that is happy and optimistic and triumphant, even in the face of all the difficulties we've faced here on this earth. It's not easy, but there is this idea that the price has been paid for our salvation. So we think of our own baptism, our own commitment to Christ, and we say, I have messed up. I've not done well. I need forgiveness. I need that grace. But that we can, even as we commune this morning, as we take these emblems, we can think about the death, burial, and resurrection and be committed to living that new life this week as we leave this place. But on a macro level, we can also have that assurance that death has been swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your sting? Right? The price has been paid for us, and that we have something beyond this life. On a macro level, eternity with him, that is a blessing. Verse 8, now if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. So on the one hand, we recommit ourselves as we think of his death, burial, and resurrection, and how we have identified with that in choosing to be Christians. And yet we recognize that we mess up and we need his grace constantly. And yet we can live with hope and with an attitude that he has paid the price for us, and that we can recommit ourselves as we take these emblems to live for him this week. And yet we know overall, above all, that he triumphed over death and that he too promises us the same in terms of eternity. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for his willingness to come to this earth, to humble himself and to be obedient to you. We pray, Father, that you will help us to try to, in our own way, as we commune this morning, as we take these emblems, to try to recommit ourselves to living for you this week. We thank you for the ultimate price that was paid on the cross, but we thank you more so for the fact that he rose, and through that resurrection gives us hope, not only in this life, but beyond this life. And so as we partake of the bread and the fruit of the vine at this time, we ask you to help us to reflect on these things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Max came into my class one morning at Great Lakes, first thing in the morning, before classes were starting, and he says to me, so, why is Christ so different from all the other religious people in the past? And I said, he's the only person that came to this world and died and rose again. And Max said, Ah, Mr. Ed, that's a good answer. He lives. He is not here. He has risen just as he said. Let's stand and sing.
The reading is from Revelation 1, 1 to 8. The revelation from Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who testifies to everything he saw, that is, the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. John, to the seven churches in the province of Asia. Grace and peace to you from him who is, and who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father, to him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all peoples on earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is, and who was, and who is to come, the Almighty.
Good morning, everyone. So glad to have you with us today. Across the world this morning, it's happened many times already, somebody like myself will stand behind the pulpit and say to the congregation, he is risen, and the congregation will respond with, he is risen indeed. So let's stand up together and let's say it with gusto. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Thank you. I'm done. That's about all there is that we need to know. He is risen, and we will be raised again one day. He is risen indeed. The Apostle Paul said something interesting. Why should anyone consider it incredible that God raises the dead? And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, and try to picture this, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to the bottom. You would think it would be the opposite way, but no, it was unusual. And everything that's going to happen is unusual. And thank the Lord, it was and is unusual. The earth shook, the rocks split. Now watch this. And the tombs broke open. How many of you have ever been to a cemetery? Okay, now watch this. I'm not making it up. Here's what happened. The earth shook, the rocks split, the tombs broke open, and the bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came up out of the grave after Jesus' resurrection, and they went into the holy city and they appeared to many people. Now, I don't know about you, but if I went to someone's funeral and then a couple of days later, I'm walking down the street, I was at your funeral. What happened? The bodies of many people came up out of the tomb after the resurrection. And then they went into the holy city and they appeared to many people. If you didn't believe in the resurrection before then, they did now. And when the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and all that had happened, they were terrified and they said these words, "Surely he was the Son of God." And that's kind of right. That's what they said. Surely he was the Son of God. But no, surely, help me, he is the Son of God. So picture this. And John tells it this way. "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. And then I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them.'" God's dwelling is with us this very moment. They will be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And then this promise: he will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death. That's a promise. One day, there will be no more death. And there will be no more sadness, mourning, crying, or pain. For the old order of things has passed away, and the one who's seated on the throne says, "I am making everything new." And then he said, "Write those words down, because they are trustworthy and true." And if God said, "Write them down," I think we need to write them down. And so when John writes, "This is the message that we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him there's no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us of all sin." What a promise. And at the end of the book of 1 John, he wants us to have complete confidence in our salvation. Listen to his words: "I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we've asked of him. We know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, who is Jesus Christ. He is the true God, and he is life eternal." So when the church first begins, and the Holy Spirit is reassuring people that Christ died, was buried, and rose again, and lives in us, in Acts 2, Here's what Peter says. People of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which he did among you, as you yourselves know. He was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross, but God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, for it was impossible for death to keep its grasp on him. The death of death. The death of death. We don't have to worry about death. I am making all things new. So the amazing resurrection, just the amazing part of it all. Luke, who was a unique writer, he wrote these words. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of Jesus. And while they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. Angels. In the fright they had, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? Jesus isn't here. He has risen. Don't you remember that he told you this while he was still with you, that the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again?" Then they remembered those words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 disciples, apostles, and to the others. And it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and others with them, who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women. The apostles didn't believe the women because their words seemed like nonsense, even though those words were correct and Jesus told them this was to happen. Peter, however, got up and he sprinted off to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away wondering to himself what had happened. Now, that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking about everything that had happened. And as they talked and discussed these things with them, Jesus came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing Jesus. And Jesus, who was in another form, and Jesus asked, "What are you talking about?" They stood still, their faces downcast. And one of them, named Cleopas, asked him, this is interesting, they asked Jesus, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and don't know these things that have happened?" Jesus asks, "Well, what things?" "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what's more, it's the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but he wasn't there. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said to them, 'Jesus is alive.' Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women said, but him they did not see. Jesus then said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Do not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" And beginning, they're going to have a Bible study now, and beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. And as they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it's nearly evening and the day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. And when he was at the table, he took the bread. He gave thanks. He broke it and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him. And he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened all the scriptures to us?" They got up. They returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together, saying, "It's true. The Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. And while they were still talking about this, Jesus stood there with them, stood among them, and he said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking that Jesus was a ghost. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. Nail prints. It is I, myself. Touch me." And they touched him. "See me. A ghost doesn't have flesh and bones as you see I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still didn't believe it, because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Then, "Oh God, please let this happen to us." And then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses now of these things. And I'm going to send you what my Father promised," talking about the Holy Spirit. "But stay in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high." And it came just a while after that, called Pentecost in Acts 2. And when Jesus led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, watch this, he lifted up his hands and he blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up to heaven. Then they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple, praising God. His promise to all of us: he is risen. He is risen indeed.
I just finished 9 weeks of teaching at Great Lakes, so I'm officially retired for the third time. We had interviews on Friday, or on Thursday, and parents, there was a set of them that were, we did it all by Zoom, so we're looking at screens and so forth, but they said, our daughter never remembered her grandfather. She didn't have any grandfathers. But she said, Mr. Ed, he's like a grandfather. He's coming up the walk. He's got his cute little hat on, you know, and his cute little coat. And he comes into class, and he's telling stories and jokes and teaching us, and it's so much fun. He reminds me of what a grandpa should be. Now, this is something, you know, I've never really thought of myself as being a grandfather until I was a grandfather, but anyhow, time passes, you know, so it passes for all of us. And I open two presents every day. I open my eyes. I get up. And all who have assembled here have had a whole lifetime of getting up in the morning. But I can tell you with assurance, when a kid says, he looks like a grandfather to me, that it's very evident that soon and very soon we are going to see the King. Let's stand and sing.
I'm going to close our time with a reading this morning from Ephesians chapter 2, and this is our response to Resurrection Sunday. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, but because of his great love, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive in Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by his grace that you have been saved, and God raised us up with Christ to be seated with him in the heavenly realm. In the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming age he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in the kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and it is not from yourselves, it is a gift of God, but by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship. He created Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Go and do those works. Amen.
Thanks for watching or listening. The Beamsville Church of Christ meets at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. Scripture quotations marked NIV taken from the Holy Bible, New International Version, NIV, copyright 2011 by Biblica, Inc. Used by permission, all rights reserved, worldwide. You can find out more about the congregation on our Facebook page or at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.